This is a production of Cornell University.
Okay, after talking with Kwame for a while and after getting some feedback from the student assembly, we decided what we're going to start doing is the agenda will start going out on Tuesday night / Wednesday morning as opposed to later Wednesday nights. So, I mean, obviously anybody can still get anything to me to get on the agenda at any time, but the official email thing I send out will start going out early Wednesday morning, you know, like at wherever thing, like Tuesday night, whatever. So if the main focus on getting your stuff in, if you could just shift that back a day, that would be really helpful for everybody. And yeah, that's basically the main change. And we'll keep you updated if there's any other ones.
Are there any questions or comments? Okay, next we have a committee presentation alert by Vice President Coombs and Vice President Greenberg.
Yeah, okay, this one was just after Alon and I talked, what we wanted to do was go around and sit in on some of the different committees to see just how the meetings run and how things are working. If you have a particular day you would like us to come by, or if we could just see your committee schedule, that would be great. So if you see Alon or I coming around and asking any questions about your committees, we're just going to come in and try to find a day that will work for you and just a good average committee meeting to sit in and monitor the progress.
Right, so any questions or comments? All right, on to a GPSA update by Representative Salem.
Hi, everyone. I just want to let everyone know that this semester it won't work out for me to be attending both GPSA meetings and dining committee meetings. GPSA meeting is pretty much like once, twice a month, but I'm pretty much resigning my seat in favor of staying on the dining committee. I feel I'm more appropriate there, I do a lot more work. And so if anyone is interested in it, I guess we can go into executive session afterwards to reach out to someone and if you have any questions about it, what the duties are, so yeah. Thank you.
Well, any questions or comments? Okay, on to a dining committee update by Vice President Coombs.
Basically, Representative Ackman over there kind of just touched on it, but the main thing that changed the last dining committee meeting, which were on Fridays at 5 o'clock last semester, we had some members, for instance, Joe Regenstein from the Food Science Department is a practicing religious Jew and thus unfortunately cannot attend on Friday evenings. So in order to facilitate things for different members, we went ahead and moved it till Monday. It's at 5 o'clock tentatively. I think about maybe pushing it back till 5:30. But it'll be in the same spot, and you can just talk to me if you're interested in coming. Besides the rescheduling, we got a couple updates to the last dining committee meeting. Most of the substantive discussion will probably take place at the next one, which... since we got started a little bit earlier this semester, we're going to alternate between every other Monday. We will not be having one this Monday. I will be in Washington, D.C. But I will let you know as far as the next date goes. It should be not this next Monday, but the one after that. Like I said, 5 o'clock or 5:30, same spot downstairs.
Are there any comments? Okay, on to a housekeeping update by Representative Hartman.
I just kind of mentioned the foodish. I was curious as to how many representatives were able to go to from the colleges were able to go to their teams because the resolution 11 that we passed. I believe college representatives had to go to their teams three times last semester. I was curious what those visits were like and if we could elaborate on that. If it was fruitful.
Was this just directed at me or was
no,
it?
No, just like you said, college representatives. Because I mean, is it
going to go before? Well, yeah, actually, I definitely did. I know that
I met with the dean twice, not three times. The third one was canceled at the end of the semester. We pushed back and back and back. My dean is very helpful with anything that we want to push through. I actually have a dual purpose with AAP because I'm also the liaison for the urban planning group.
What are you doing?
So I meet with him to kind of forward both the group of urban regional studies and the whole school. So this semester we will be working hopefully with the dean support on getting an all AAP community service day and all AAP camp so that the I think the school will be funding for the room and music and I don't know, a bar for those who are able to partake, and so it'll be a good day. And then hopefully we will also be able to get a bus or something for a community service day to do something related to our architecture planning in the city of Topeka. So those are what we'll be working on, and we've had great support from the team so far. So I don't know if anybody else.
Yeah, I met with my team 6 times last semester, and we scheduled 5 meetings this semester through coffee chats with other students and roundtables that are a bit more exclusive, where students can sit down and discuss issues they have with the dean. So I'm doing my part.
Yeah, we also had a roundtable discussion with actually we got
like
about 25 to 30 students to come, and it was really successful. Yeah, thank you.
I'll make it quick. I had one meeting with my dean last semester. She told me very specifically that she wanted me to only help with one project. That project was undertaken and carried out. It's done now, so I'm going to find some other projects this semester to work with her on, but I will try to get those 3 meetings.
Any other members?
Yeah, I had one coming up. I think we passed it a little later.
People have more questions. So did you have anything else?
No.
Okay. Were there any other announcement or reports? Okay. Representative Hughes.
Actually, a few announcements. One is a ILS update. We are going to the leadership summit tomorrow. And so anybody that's interested in IB Council for the spring, you know, I can tell you about what we did at this coming weekend. And yeah, just let me know if you're interested so we can work something out for you to come in the spring for the IB Council. And also for the Red Select Committee, we will be having our meeting on Mondays in the afternoon, also from either 4:30 to 5:30 or something in that time period. And probably the next one will not be this Monday, but next Monday. And again, this semester, we will be moving forward, hopefully, with the College Town Community Center. I've actually initiated a independent study class in order to explore the different types of campus planning that goes on. And in the end of the class, we will be having a 5-week project and in order to get the community center passed. We will also be looking into an issue that has arisen with the co-op and Cornell's intervention with them. Handicap accessibility we will still be looking into, and the website for landlord and off-campus housing we will also be going into. So if anybody has any questions, please talk to me.
What time did you say the IB Council meeting was?
IB Council meeting?
No, oh,
the
they're going tomorrow.
Yeah, they're going tomorrow.
All right. Were there any questions or comments? Okay, on to, or are there any other announcements or reports? All right, on to business of the day. First, we have a code of conduct discussion by Representative Duke. No matter what, it's going to apply to students, so I don't think we have to say about that. Yeah.
I have something to say.
Okay, Representative
Sir. I would support the boards change just because I feel like faculty should be put under more scrutiny, and I think that I believe like it would be an issue to the students that this applies to all of us, not just the students, and that it excludes faculty.
I care less about the applying not just narrowly to students but to everyone. Rather, but what really more concerns me more is the fact that discipline is being moved to the Dean of Students' Office rather than the Judicial Administrator. And I just, before I speak further, do you have another question?
Yes. Okay. Then that's one of the things we have. Another question is, should off-campus misconduct by the executive deputy subject to criminal discipline? The way it is now, only there's no off-campus jurisdiction, it's only exceptionally grave misconduct that may be enabled by the president. And then the proposed press report says that the Office of Student Conduct will have the discretion to consider off-campus
I think that there are pluses and minuses to on-campus jurisdiction. I think that there are some people I've talked to other students have been concerned as to where exactly these bounds would be. So like if you're on a Cornell trip to New York City or to another university, you get in trouble, you're going to be double punished when you're here and there, or like seen underage drinking in New York City or weird things like that. But one thing I think that would be very beneficial for having some sort of on-campus jurisdiction, especially in the Greek system, during the sororities, to protect survivors of sexual assault and rape, which I know the university has a great deal of trouble, reaching out to with some sort of disciplinary process. A lot of people are sort of, I think that's a way that disciplinary system should be extended to protect students in the Cornell community that way. And that's my question.
Well, we don't have any objection to have J.A.'s office join us in the office. So in a sense, we're not averse to it. There's another issue that comes into being. As the accused, I am currently principally a student advocate. In other words, I work on your behalf. And while, I don't shy away from, telling students when I believe they've done something inappropriate, I'm not identified personally as against this scenario. And I frankly would hope that should the JA's office come to the office of these students, would be identified still as the district office, and I would still preserve my role as an advocate. However, as perhaps you know, the office of these students underwent an extensive or comprehensive external review last spring. Eugenio Montero from UCLA was vice chancellor there, and Dean Students from Princeton came. They made a series of recommendations, and among them was one about the location of the JA and about the role of the Dean Students as both an advocate and someone who they have heard, for lack of a better term. They felt that they questioned whether we should separate the two. I guess why should I have the luxury of only being advocate? They felt that having both of those issues together enriched the ability for us to deal with campus behavior as a whole, that by being able to advocate and also deal with those social issues with inappropriate behavior on campus together was beneficial. And in fact, most campuses in this country deal with it that way. So they make the question, why do we do it?
Representative South? Vice President Coates?
Yeah. I don't know if this is necessarily just related to this specific issue of it, but I kind of wanted to allude back to what Doug was talking about a little bit earlier. I was there when he met with the university vice president of communications, et cetera, and I basically echoed him in saying that a lot of different things that you're bringing up right now and the changes, I think there's been a fairly vehement response on the part of the students, because all they know is that they'll see these things like your right to remain silent is being revoked, and there hasn't been adequate explanation as to why that's happening. It'd be like you have the First Amendment, but then you have some guy jump up and yell fire in a movie theater. So then they come, like this proverbial, they come and say, okay, now we're going to be taking away the First Amendment. How do you feel about that? And of course, everybody's just going to react, well, that's ridiculous. I hate that, whatever. I think what the approach might need to be, and I would, and unfortunately, I will not be able to come to this thing on Monday. I'll be in Washington, D.C. But the, recommend to the administration the approach might need to be more of a discussion of the problems and why these changes are being proposed. So instead of saying, we're going to take away the First Amendment, how do you feel about that? They could say, hey, we have a problem with people jumping up and yelling fire in a crowded movie theater. How should we solve this? At that point, that gets the creativity of everybody involved in helping fix the problem. And so I just think that's probably the main difficulty of all this. And I think that's also why a lot of people might be fairly silent when you mention these things, because they don't really know the issues involved and why they're changing anyway. I think that's kind of just a big overarching problem when engaging any type of discussion over the campus code of conduct.
Representative Smith.
In the discussion, but I'm also in the part of it, I think the general response to a lot of changes have been, it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, the code is really old. It has old language. I think the draft we have has been 40-something years since it's been last reviewed. And I think it's fine to take a look at the language, go through a really comprehensive review, update things in the 21st century as far as like our language about things. But I think it's something that has served the university relatively well. And one thing I think that's really good for students, for people on all sides of the situation when they're disciplinary, hearing these things, is the JA and the independence of the JA. I think people feel very comfortable knowing the JA is entirely impartial. And I think that I like being humble as being, being fun, basically, being able to be a student advocate, being someone who is not, Right. And just because other universities do that way, Cornell is different, we don't have to do it that way. And one thing that I really think that it could be a potential problem is a lot of students work in very close proximity. I don't know if they'll still be located in Day Hall, where I think Day Hall right is in Day Office now, but if they were meshed in further than the student's office, I know there's lots of undergraduates who know a lot of specific individuals who work with them in the students. I work with the student's office, and you know, I know a lot of staff on the floor and things, so I think that it would create a different kind of dynamic. And I just think that I'm a little concerned by the fact that the tone of the change is like, we have entered into an educational code that will change the problem, because the J is already doing that. The J doesn't say, okay, you sleep bad, you're expelled. They say, okay, now you have to meet with so-and-so, like someone who's ever, you know, commits a hate crime against like LGBT people, they have to meet with the director of the LGBT Research Center and write a paper subject of discussion. It's not just like this disciplinary and legalistic response. The J is already being created in education. So I don't see the need for a lot of these changes.
Representative Lavin.
Yeah, seeing how the Greg brought up, those are my conversations as well. It seems to me, especially the JA, we have to be very careful if you mention two offices. I mean, I had the opportunity to sit on the Green Board a few times, and my impression is the JA is very much the attorney for the university and the president. These are just the cases that I was attending. And then the student, in this case, they had an attorney themselves. It's very much like the JA, not only a mediator, but the attorney for the university, and it's very much, you know, two sides. So, I mean, the positive thing is that it could be less of the JA acting as the attorney for the university and more of a mediator as the university, but then again, I wouldn't want your role as our acting to be on as well. So it's very, you guys brought up, those are my primary reservations.
Are there any other questions or comments? You know. Questions or comments? Okay, Representative Duke. Returning to that discussion on meeting with teams, if there was anybody who had any questions or comments on that, I would like to continue that discussion. Time's now.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Representative Lavin.
Well,
extension cord. It's only passed for some years, by a lot, and we tried out a few months, and now looking at it, and send you a resident of Harkinsburg, now maybe not looking out for the larger school, but I'd like to know from representatives from the larger school, have maybe attempted to contact you. I mean, it's much easier and accessible than small schools, granted. So I'd like to hear from Arts or Ag.
Vice President Boxer.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say I'm not surprised that you haven't heard from Arts Engineering or Ag. That was sort of what I was saying the whole time. It's just saying it got passed kind of late, and there was definitely no way for us to be able to meet with the deans, one of the deans from Arts. But I will say also that I think that what our structure is definitely going to have to be is what Elon's was, which is that, I mean, it's so hard to meet with. It's so hard to coordinate all three of us and get a hold of that office and be able to make an appointment and to get in there and not really have anything substantive to talk about specifically relating to the college and something that we're doing on the assembly right now would be, I definitely know that if we went in there like that, then we would not be invited back. I think that that's something that we can try to focus on a little bit more, but that's definitely where we stand.
Okay, was there anybody from engineering or CALS that wished to speak on this?
Yeah, we also weren't able to get into contact with our team. We emailed them once, but schedules didn't match. And so we'll give it a shot again this semester, and maybe we need another session. Instead of waiting until the end of the semester, I propose maybe we, in 2 months or a month and a half, meet up. And by then, everyone should have at least had one meeting, and then go from there.
Were there any other questions or comments about this? Okay, so it looks like in a month to a month and a half, we'll discuss this again. So the representatives from the smaller schools continue to do what you're doing. Representatives from the larger schools, please try to meet with your deans. All right, on to unfinished business.
I'd actually like to motion to move resolution 25 and 26 to get to the day.
You mean 24 and 26?
25.
We're voting on 25 anyway.
No, 24 and 26, you're talking about, right?
You just said 25.
The one on the one doing with Appendix B.
We're voting on 25 anyway.
One meeting is going to be after all the other
ones. You want to move it up?
Yeah.
You want to move 126.
But, no, you wouldn't just move it up on unfinished business because that's where we're going next. Anyway, 26 can't be moved up because it's a charter change. And that has to be on old business before it can move to unfinished business and be voted.
Okay.
Do you still want to move 25 up?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's been a motion to move resolution 25 to the first item on unfinished business. Is there any dissent to that motion? Okay, so we'll handle that right now. So resolution 25 regarding Appendix B guidelines for Alana, Vice President Boxer. Were there any questions or comments about this resolution? Speakers, was it now open? What's in the second?
Call for acclamation.
Second.
What's in the second? Is there any dissent? Okay, this resolution passes unanimously. Okay, on to resolution 16. Shouldn't be on there. On to resolution 22. Resolution regarding SA and UA election rules. Before we begin, let me just clarify. The only thing you removed was the shared cost paragraph, and the only thing you added was section 10 on restrictions.
And also, the last sentence on Article 1 election guidelines.
All right, okay. And you also added a sentence at the end of Article 1. Okay. Representative Self.
I just want to say thank you to the sponsors of the resolution last week. For setting up that wrapping session, so I will be able to make that by the President of the United States and hold resolutions about the issue before. I support this resolution as it is written, because I really hope that with the SA election, all the elections in the spring, we can move away from the really contentious, really hard, really hostile ticket culture that has, in some sense, it's worse than in the past couple of years. More or less, it hurts the spirit of elections and makes them seem like things that a lot of students who hear about them and observe them find really attractive and make them, I think, damage the credibility of the assembly. I was considering further amendments to try to stop the election campaign, but that's the discussion of the president election shot, which is not something we'd be able to do legitimately. So I appreciate the very clear way at this point to violations that can turn into challenges. One thing I hope that we do in the future, but I'm not going to bring this up today, is that we meet with the director of housing and of residential life to get around the UUP policy. I think that was something that caused a lot of challenges last year. Really ridiculous filing, dozens and dozens and dozens of forms. The small technicality about the form was not designed for that purpose. It was designed for event planning. So I hope that's something will change in the future to get rid of these little nitpicky things that take in the past to make it a challenge.
Vice President Coombs.
All right. Everybody will notice that the sponsors this week are at least one person short. That was not an easy decision for me. I was on the resolution throughout the drafting session. That was a great idea that Representative Self had come up with. I was there, obviously. Basically, I had to step back. These things tend to take on a life of their own. That's basically what happened in this case. It's difficult for me because I think I want to see in spirit exactly what these gentlemen at this table want to see in this assembly, which is independent thought, good people being able to do good things, and less of the divisive spirit that Representative Self is talking about. But with great change, and this is very great change, comes often great problems. And which I was basically breaking my my own rule, which is always to not get caught in the heat of passion and to remove yourself and to make sure that the changes that you make will not be so radical as to cause more problems than provide the solutions that they intend to. After listening to and talking to a variety of people, both in this assembly, from the Cornell community at large, I think that this resolution does cause a variety of problems. For instance, first of all, you will notice Section C, candidates cannot even hand out promotional materials on behalf of other candidates or recommend other candidates. I think what problems will arise from this, one prominent one, is that while eliminating tickets that they've been understood, it will also turn elections at small schools likely into popularity contests. And you know, and I'm just going to preface all this by saying,
is there a motion to extend, Vice President Cornell?
Yeah, 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Right. And yeah, and I just want to preface all this by saying, just to clear the air, I have any ulterior motives. If I ever run for this assembly again, it will not be on the ticket. Okay. So that is not the reason why I'm saying this. I'm saying this because I want to make sure that we make responsible, proactive change that's good and does not create more problems than it solves. This could easily turn. Is this? I'm actually. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Just because my time's running out, just hit me after that. This will easily turn elections at small schools into popularity contests. Say that you have a somebody running who's fairly unmotivated. They don't want to put any change in the student assembly. They don't want to do anything good. Because of the current situation, they're fine because all they have to do is run, and people know who they are, and they might get elected to the SA, and they won't have any character-filled opposition. Which feasibly, I think that what the problem has been in the past is a top-down ticket culture, where you have one or two individuals who decide that they want to be officers or hold some position on the student assembly. And they call different constituency groups across campus, say, hey, how about you run for SA? I'm not really interested in it. Well, that's okay. Because all you have to do is you run, I'll take care of it all, then just vote with me after I get on there. That is what we need to fix. This resolution oversteps, and I think that we're going to end up punishing honest people by trying to prevent dishonesty. I would encourage people to, I think there needs to be reform, but I think this resolution takes too much of a black and white view and might end up causing more problems than it intends to solve. And I would encourage people to just take some time and think about this and maybe encourage the sponsors to go back to the drawing board and get this assembly involved in making good changes.
Representative Gay.
And this is finally coming to words, and we're going to go ahead and do it. Mark, you said that you wanted, in spirit, to be in this ticket system, and I don't see why you would be opposed to Section 10, letter C. That, and what other candidate, unless you want a ticket, which is simply curious, another candidate, that's the only circumstance you're going to piece together that would happen. for the deal would affect me to stop that from happening again. Also affect me. I just want to send a correlation between this CD and tickets and popularity contest. I have no rights on the but I hope that doesn't cloud the point that this resolution makes sense now, especially after I completely support what Calvin said about that we want to end the fight with the contentious nature of the process. I mean, I sadly wasn't able to see you going through a what the session is called
the internal election.
And
you talking about challenges?
Challenges, and my only concern was letter B, where no candidate is taking interference in any of the stuff I'm going to do. How would you, in challenges, foresee a problem where somebody would send you an ice that I'm interested in? There's no action record when nothing was printed, but who came up with it? All of our methods seem very similar. Supporting somebody, so how would you arbitrate this situation? That you then can send it for hours and then you will be able to reach first.
Time just expired. Is there a motion to extend?
1 minute.
Representative Gay's time. Is there a motion for 1 minute? Is there any dissent? Okay, 1 minute. Second. All right, so Representative Lavin.
I was going to speak about this as well. First of all, I just want to start off saying I hope at least a version of this resolution passes today. I think that's necessary, and I think it will solve a lot of problems for a lot of stress and in doing this, taking everybody's perspective and ideas, I think we do have to be careful and cautious, you know, just as to how much regulation. I think there is a line that has to be drawn somewhere. And I agree with striking letter C. I think AD&T do the job of the point of this resolution. I think that I feel that, you know, we had that meeting, I don't know when it was, a few days ago. And we talked about a lot of things, and you know, one just for example, the internal elections. You know, they're very efficient with the tickets. They're, you know, ticket members, ticket members. It's just they
right person, the qualified person is inefficient. And I think AD&D saw that, and I think C is just, you know, if I feel like one of my peers who happens to be running, if I feel disqualified, I have the right to support him and maybe head out his support card or recommend him as a candidate to someone else. I just feel like that's a little too much to bring him in or to the right sentence. But as support association, I think AD&D should do the job.
Representative Self.
Okay, I mean, let's get to here. I was one of those people to hit box last year who sat down late, went around and talked to constituencies. And, I mean, we have to be real here. I think that now, I mean, maybe if I were running for another election, if I were doing here, I'd be a lot more scared about taking out parts of it. Because B is something that's real. If you don't have, we have section B here. That means that a ticket can't mobilize in Saturday to Hall and send 30 people around having all of their other board cards and cover a whole norm. You know, Dan, it's not that you're a 12-hour. Let me take some of your quarter cards and I'll just do it right now. There's going to be people going around. And this is how the number of the tickets gives us unfair advantage. I don't understand why President Trump said about this, you know, an honest candidate popularity contest, because the popular candidate in a school will be the one chosen for a ticket, and they'll be the person who can mobilize a huge number of people, including their fellow candidates, to go do it. If you're just a single candidate running on your own, and you're not part of the ticket, then you don't have that advantage. This is going to level the playing field, and I think it's really important that, I mean, we shouldn't take out the EU, we didn't see, and do any sort of a right. Like, I think this is a good way of addressing the problem, and it's a way of killing the ticket culture. And there are already going to be tickets in spring, everyone knows that. But what this is doing is taking away some of their seats and letting some real candidates who are people who have good ideas have a fair chance, at least with the promotions with that base time from students, and having a chance of winning.
Vice President Box.
Yeah, I was going to say, I completely agree with what Calvin was saying, and I was going to say before, I spoke a little bit about this at that organizational meeting the other day, which is why I was in favor of keeping this in, and I just think that, like, if you're going to do the job, then do the job, like, fully do the job, get rid of the tickets, you know? I know that a lot of people are looking at this from the perspective of running for re-election and how it's going to affect that, you know, my personal standpoint now is being on the elections committee, and you know, if you leave this out, I think you're asking for a whole bunch of loopholes. And I, you know, from my perspective, now I think that these rules are really important, and I think that there's too many loopholes without this. And in terms of the abroad thing, I understand that argument, but just in terms of limiting who can, you know, just kind of going too far about like who can speak or not speak for someone else. You know, I think that if you have 300 Facebook friends or something like that, and there are 10 of your friends, 10 of those people are running, and not to have those 10 people say something for you and have those other 290, you know, get put in the good word for you, wherever, like, you know, this isn't saying that no one can talk about you except for yourself. Like, this isn't saying that you have to go it alone and in the big schools that you're, you know, it's one person trying to appeal to 3,000 people all on their own. It's really not doing that, I don't think. I understand the popularity contest thing. I think that's always a problem in the smaller schools. There's really no way to get around that. But, you know, I think that this fully, completely does the job of what you guys are trying to do. This wasn't my resolution. This wasn't my idea to get rid of the tickets. But I think that there's been, you know, there's obviously been, it's a popular demand at this point. It's been popular enough to have like 8 different co-sponsors at one point or another. And, you know, I think that if you're going to get rid of tickets, then just get rid of tickets. You know, get rid of candidates speaking on behalf of other candidates. Get the rest of your friends to do it for you. Get your roommate to help you. Get your campaign manager to help you.
Right. Representative Santana.
I would just like to address you also. Representative Self mentioned that by not allowing other people who are campaigning to go around the world, etc., there's nothing to level the playing field in terms of allowing other people who are not running to also hand out your campaign material. I don't see how these numbers should contribute to restricting for the people campaigning in the
government. Because you can't distribute.
Well, it's your time to speak unless you yield your time to someone else for a response.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like Sarah just said, you can have a bunch of your friends help you. That's not the thing. But I mean, most people that I know are actually friends. None of them spend 4 hours with campaigns being Nixon. But what normally happens is huge tickets of all the candidates go and pass out each other's material. That's what I'm addressing. Not saying your friends, if you, they want to help you, that's fine. Just not having other candidates and someone's 12 order. Back to you.
You can only yield your time to one person. And, yeah. So, do you have... Representative Hartman is next on the speaker's list, anyway. Okay, Representative Hartman.
I would like to reiterate what Calvin just said, that knowing that his friends are having an invested interest to go campaign for 4 hours, and that same sentiment, I think it's really hard to expect an abroad candidate to find one of her friends or his friends to campaign for 4 hours if not in the race. And an abroad candidate makes most of his friends, or if they've been a part of the assembly or if they're part of climate council, which also affects it, they're friends with the people on the council and the assembly, and you sometimes become best friends with them. And you might only have one or two friends that have that much invested interest in you getting elected. And if they're on the assembly or if they're on the class council, lo and behold, you're in that group, you spend a lot of time together, you become best friends, and then you're preventing them from helping them out. I mean, it's kind of like ruining the chances of a broad candidate. So in that sense, that's why I feel we have to strike that decision. And I would also like to point out in our lab notes that A, B, and D cover everything except us, our people running just can't hand out quarter cards or hand out promotional material. And then I also found a problem with, if I was at my computer and I got an email from someone that said, who's good on the assembly? You're a current assembly member and this person is running. And then if I respond, then I'm promoting that person. And then that's breaking this rule. And the reason why I found C is problematic is it's not really enforceable. You're going to get a lot of he said, she said. You're going to get a lot of people bringing pictures of this person was campaigning and holding a quarter card. Where with A, you'll see the names on the quarter card. You'll see all this stuff. B, you're going to have to provide the finances. And with D, if you see the plagiarism, it's broken. But with C, that's the most that's going to be problematic for this election, for that state. I yield my time back this week.
Okay, I'm going to limit speaking time to 1 minute now, just so we can get through this. Parliamentarian Esker.
Thank you.
Thank
And he had been on the assembly for
right.
two
years. You're asking us to change election rules for like a very small number of candidates. What about the other 13,000? Hold on, hold on. What about the other? My team, thank you. What about the other 13,000 people who are supposed to be part of your constituency, who they all want to run, but you're asking people to change rules for them? Their friends can still campaign for that. It's just the 40 or 30 or 20 or however many some odd candidates are, they can't do it. I really don't need to change the rules for that. Also, things about assembly members, like if someone mentioned, you know how you handle that, the assembly passed something last year about how assembly members and election committee members should conduct themselves in elections. So that's already in the chart. So that's already there. The things about the challenge, a lot of the rules are written in preventative steps. So if someone knew who's coming and running, it's supposed to be that they just simply go and say, I won't do that, not let me do the best to get around that and file a challenge. So by being there, it helps to correct people, it strikes out people's minds that you can partake in the election. Most people won't say, most people are not coming enough. I'm not saying that they're not smart people, but they're not coming up with country election rules to say, let me find a way to get to do this and then get around it and then challenge them or, you know, not get challenged on it. So I think that for that reason, I don't see any reason why we can't let 40-some-odd candidates who are running not campaign on
that. Time has expired.
That's the biggest advantage we're going to take it. So.
Representative Salem.
Yeah.
The debate is on the amendment, so if you say something irrelevant, then you've essentially said nothing at all, but you can say whatever you want.
I support striking letter C. I think that there is something we're forgetting here, which is that if you disallow candidates from getting other candidates to help them out in passing out quarter cards and sending out emails, it will be very difficult for some to find other people to do it for them. Well, we being very easy for people, for example, not pointing fingers at anyone, but to find people who are pledging for them and have them pass out quarter cards, have them send out emails, and obviously they won't be able to say no to that. So I think that by putting all these restrictions, you're abandoning a certain sector of the Cornell population, mainly the Greek population, that has this ability to mobilize a lot of their pledges, a lot of their friends, while other sectors, like persons abroad, can't do the same thing. And I think that we should keep that in mind when we're voting to strike this amendment. And I urge everyone to strike this, because this at least gives people the ability to email their friends, create a Facebook ad.
Time's expired.
Motion.
Vice President Greenberg.
I think this debate is shifting the focus from the actual actual resolution too much to the amendments. I want to call the question.
All right, the motion to strike Section 10, Part C, has been called to question. And again, this reads: no candidate may distribute any promotional materials. Let me read that again. No candidate may distribute any promotional material, send any electronic communication, or utilize any other form of electronic media on behalf of any other candidate. this motion requires a majority. Correct? Problems here?
Yep.
All right. So all in favor, raise your hand.
Wait,
Wait, of striking?
Of striking Part 10, Section C.
Required two-thirds
of the debate. No, there was no dissent. So everybody, there was no dissent to voting on this motion. Okay. All right, let's vote. Let's vote to end debate on this motion now. All right, so everybody in favor of ending debate and voting on the motion, please raise your hand. Clerk, how many people are here today?
21.
21? Okay, the motion fails.
Wait, 14.
Oh, 14. Okay. Okay, the motion passes. My mistake. Okay. So, now we're voting. Everybody in favor of the motion, please raise your hand.
Can you just clarify again, please?
Okay, I'll clarify what the motion is again. The motion is to strike the following. No candidate may distribute any promotional materials, send any electronic communication, or utilize any other form of electronic media on behalf of any other candidate. Alright? Alright, so everybody in favor of striking that, please raise your hand. Okay, that is a majority. So
what?
See,
I thought
you said 14.
No, it's out of 21 though.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right, the motion fails. My mistake. Okay.
Can you clarify what the vote count was?
The vote was set, or the vote was 8.
Vote.
Okay. So the motion fails. Part C is staying. All right. So we're on back to discussion on the amendment as a whole. And for clarification, because some people were confused, there were actually two speakers list. So we just finished the one that was on the actual motion. We're back to the speakers list for the resolution as a whole. So you may get your name called again. Representative Hartman.
I yield my time. Go on.
I just want to point out something out here. How we're going to be elected and in what manner the following election counts. Not, I suppose that some election bodies did say that. However, we need to consider here that not all of us are going to agree with every single point that they change to. Okay? But there's going to be something that bothers one of us, which is because, you know, it might be a personal thing, like Ben talking about bringing something in the world, somebody talking about another candidate that they might want more from. What I'm asking you all to consider, you and I have is, gentlemen, what this resolution is trying to get across. Voting against this resolution will only be going. Voting against this resolution will only be going to mean that elections are going to be conducted in the same conditions by the election of the election. Who knows what it means? Okay? We're going to run elections regardless of this burden of the nation. We're going to have nothing's going to happen this summer. We're going to come back in September, dealing with the stigma of the SA, can't get along with this. We're going to fight that stigma until September. One month for a product to be generous without any compassion. I think it's incredibly, incredibly important to end that fight, make up more productive companies than we're doing so.
Representative Salem.
A.
Salem. R. Salem.
Okay. All right, can I ask a question?
Sure. Sure.
So, I guess this is for you. So I don't understand, like, if someone's going to pick it, I think that's making things more, like, a realistic election. Like, so what's the big deal? Why can't someone form a ticket against? And eventually you guys are going to get along. I mean, even if everyone ran by themselves, you still get, like, you and the people not like each other anyway. Fresh start.
So I have some time left.
Oh, okay. And I guess Sarah, like, if you have any campaign managers that you said before, like any friends who
Well, again, you can only yield once.
So you can make
you can only
I don't know.
Well, you can't ask anybody. I'll put you on the second series list. Representative Lambert.
What you were saying before, I wanted to disagree, I wanted to clarify something. You know, you were saying like the stigmas. First of all, I thought this year I thought really broke that stigma. First of all, I thought relatively it was a pretty successful ticket election. Two tickets that ran against each other, it was almost half a
half.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we came together and we all worked together and got along. I just wanted to sort of clarify, I didn't agree with the statement or anything before about that. But again, one year and all the past years that I know of, and I'm sure that all of us know, haven't worked out like that. I just want to, I didn't agree with your comments, so I want to say that. Yield to Representative Brown.
Just really quickly, I do find Stevens the most problematic to me because these rules just don't apply to the assembly, and that's when Sarah brought up last week that we have to go to each group, and class council passes these same student assembly rules. And I found it very problematic that the vice president, we vote for positions in class councils. We don't vote for just members like the student assembly does. And it's very hard for the president who's going to run. They can't even promote the vice president to work with them. So I mean, you kind of, if you're going to have a functional organization, you kind of want your vice president to be someone that you want to work with. So it's kind of hard to even promote them. So that's why I found it very problematic with the rules that with class councils, you can't even support the other positions that you're going to be on the council. You can't campaign for them at all. So that's why I found it for assembly, these rules are very good.
Time has expired. Vice President Boxer.
All right, two things. First of all, I just want to say for clarification, class council, it says nowhere that class council seems to take our election rules. So if class council doesn't like what we do and they are not being lazy and want to come up with their own election rules, they can do that. They do not need to adopt it by any means. Second, I'm going to call the question.
Is there a second? Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
All in favor of calling to question, please raise your hand. Did you raise it high, please, and don't go like this. I counted 12.
Keep your hands up, unless you count your
meal. No, I didn't. Okay, 14. Okay, motion passes. It's been called to question. The speakers are allowed a closing statement.
Well, I just want to say, to address this point, you can still vote in out the election material or using electronic means to support that you can still talk about how to read a person they are. Second of all, addressing Representative Lattin's point, this past election wasn't. I would call it a successful ticket election because when you came in that room, you had 10 people voting one way, 8 people voting the other way, and nobody being able to find a good candidate for those executive offices. So clearly, that wasn't run very well. With this sort of system, you will now have 80, 90 individuals coming in all with their own ideas and decide on a candidate that supports individual issues rather than ticket.
In debate, you don't need to debate. That's fine.
All right, were there any community members that wish to speak on this? There's a question. Representative Sale.
Okay, I stepped down from the vote to speak as a community member, but my voice wasn't heard through the normal process.
Because what?
Well, my voice wasn't heard through, I couldn't speak to the decimal question. If I step down from the vote, can I speak to that?
I'll give you 10 seconds, or 15 seconds. Is that adequate?
Two-thirds of the body voted to call the question.
Okay, there's been an objection. I'm going to rescind that. All right, so there were no community members that wished to speak? Okay. Okay, please sit down and can you speak into the microphone just because we're recording this? State your name and year.
So basically, I think the principles behind the judge being excellent. I think we can all agree that it has no cause. This is that the kind of judgment that we want to see. But I don't think that they should have a role in what I like perceive as micromanaging an election. There are too many rules in here, basically. You know, dare I take a conservative, stand from this, in front of this assembly, but I think that there is a problem that we as they vote on the rules that are going to elect their own members. And I agree with everything you said about their last point. You said something like, we're in a unique position as elected members to, choose the way the election we are going to run. And I think extremely sensitive. I think that's an awful idea. Right, and I don't think there should be a vote at all. You guys should not be micromanaging the election. Let
20 seconds.
Vote in their representative.
Can I ask you a question?
And let the election committee be the deciding factor on whether there's an election or whether those candidates who people chose, the students chose, were elected fair. I hope that is the election.
Okay, were there any other community members that wish to speak? Okay, clerk, please call the roll.
Wait, sir.
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain.
No.
Who did not vote? Please raise your hand so the clerk can call on. Representative Roizen, did you?
Yes.
Okay, so clerk, please make sure this counts correct. I have 12 yeses to 5 noes to 2 abstentions.
13 yeses.
Okay, 13 yeses. Okay, this resolution passes. Thanks. Next, we have Resolution 23, resolution regarding the spring break bus program by Representative Hartman.
Program, it's like $35,000 they spend, and they don't have $2,700 as our safety net. I mean, as our potential maximum loss would be $2,700. But I would like to kind of re-clarify the $2,700 dollar number, because that would actually never happen, because if nobody got on the buses, we would just cancel it. And we need to just expect somewhere between like 1,000 and zero negative, that's where we want to occur. And if the assembly is willing to take on that type of risk, for what I think is the best approach around for a service that student assembly has had in front of us, so I think we should do that. And as I quoted in the email that I sent to you, any great public investment needs some sort of support from the government body. And I think it's time that we need to put forward that support. And
yeah, this week's list is now open. There's been a call to question, motion to call to question. Is there any dissent? Was that dissent?
No.
Okay. All right. Seeing none, would you like to make a closing statement?
Hopefully that was because you're all supportive of it.
Okay.
I will probably bring forward an email next week that will hopefully, if the smart resolution gets passed, that will bring forward that bring forward an email to the entire student body where you can use the both email options to promote this, to get an idea of the PR process. But I hope you guys all support it.
There's been a call for acclamation. Is there any dissent? Okay, seeing none, the resolution passes.
Woo!
All right, on to new business, Resolution 24, resolution regarding bulk emails. It shouldn't be on there. No, shouldn't be on there today. Resolution 24.
Good evening. Hopefully we're going to get a chance to read this. We have a gag last week from Milan, where we pushed it out for this week, so hopefully we have a chance to look over it. In a nutshell, what the resolution has to do is right now, it's really unclear because, as I say, and Rule 12 or standing orders give everyone on the assembly the right to email their constituents, their list of listeners, etc. Right now it's really unclear though when you send an email to the officer that you want to have sent out. It's unclear as to when we have to do that. Otherwise, sometimes, you know, like if you were to send an email to somebody on the executive committee, we could tell you, well, we don't think this is necessarily warranted to be sent out. And it's really unclear as to when we actually have to do so. So this is just a kind of codifying into the standing rules that if a majority of people on this assembly want a particular email, like want us as your officers to go back for you with the administration, this is codifying, like just into our standing rules, we'll say, okay, you get 20 people in the assembly who want to send out this email, then we as the officers have to do whatever we can to make sure that email gets sent out. That's basically the simple form of it. If there's any, questions, I'm glad that you're
here. The visuals are now open. Representative Fernandez.
Right now, okay, so say you want to send out an email to the entire freshman class.
Yeah, I mean, I understand how it works, but, like, if the assembly okays the email, what are you going to do?
Well, yeah, okay, so at that point, okay, so if you want to send out an email, right now, we send it to the officers. We can say, sorry, we don't think this is necessarily worth sending. And then at that point, it's done. This says, right now, that as far as, like, if the assembly votes and the majority says, well, we want this sent, then what we have to do is, at that point, your officers would have to contact Susan Murphy or whomever is in control of the
Vice President Slickman. No, it's
With other things on this assembly, we go through, for example, our budget at the beginning of the year, the Appropriations Committee has to approve it. I was wondering if you would consider adding a Communications Committee to this resolution so that it goes to them first and they can make a recommendation based on what's presented to them so that the assembly members are more informed, perhaps. Would you consider adding a Communications Committee into this process?
Sure, yeah, I think it's a great idea. So, yeah, so you can take a letter from somebody and then take it to the...
They would have to, much like ASCOM works, the respective representative would come to the Communications Committee and the Communications Committee would vote based on the recommendation, and then I would present that, or whoever the chair of the Communications Committee would be, would present that recommendation to the Assembly so that it's a bit more informed. Instead of wasting debate or valuable time here, we can just bring those findings to the Assembly.
Right, yeah, if the Assembly comes differently, they can always overrun it.
Absolutely.
So, right. That's sure.
So you can add that next week. Thank you.
Representative Butish.
I was wondering, do you hold communication meetings weekly?
No.
Because I just have a feeling that might slow down the process way too much. Because if you have this email that you need to send out, and it needs to go through the communications committee, and then through the e-board.
May I respond?
I understand that would make it more important. But I just feel like if it's an important email, that there's a reason that it's being sent to the whole student body, that it should be expediently put through the process.
Right. That is a good point.
That wasn't a request for a response.
I yield my time to my...
I think that's a very good point. If we were to physically add something like this, I think there has to be a time guarantee or something that they could meet. You could solicit opinions very quickly or something like that.
Vice President Boxer.
Yeah, I was just going to, I second that. I agree with that. I don't think that it necessarily should go to the communications meeting, unless there's like a meeting that's already scheduled for day, a week, of whatever. Then I don't have a problem with it going to the communications committee, but I just think there's not enough time. So, done.
Representative Crockett. You are now.
Are you motioning to table?
Sorry.
Was that a motion to table the resolution?
No.
Okay. Parliamentary advocate.
Okay, hi everyone. So I know I'm just speaking on the student idea. This is new business, so we're just developing. So it's the communications committee. As a member of the communications committee myself, I feel I would do it for whatever time I have left to CJ to speak on this too. But my opinion is that the reason we don't make new quiz is because we don't always have things to discuss. But for example, if there were a certain number of things to discuss, then maybe we'd be more than happy to meet to discuss it. And for example, just as a thought, like what we do for example for RAs, we have a funding thing, and then the date of which all the funding things occurred are set by the semester. The beginning of the semester, basically the semester before. So if the dates of the communications committee are met or are set the semester before, the people will be able to plan in. I mean, in case you read email the night before and expect it to send out the next day. You know, you can probably at least give it a couple of days of thought and send it along and know when the deadlines are. If not, just wait the next one. But I mean, you know, the same thing can be said about the e-board, and it just seems to me as the communications committee seems like the most logical in a wording of the essay to approve or deny something. Like, it's a thought that, you know, I think Mark and TJ should talk about for next week. If I have any time left, I'd like to see this week as well.
1 minute.
Yeah, my committee is pretty flexible, and we meet. I can call them a day in advance, and we can meet. Or we could solicit ideas over email. I've done that plenty of times throughout the semester, and I do not foresee this at all as delaying the process of sending an email out. I mean, we're not going to be having an email presented on Tuesday, and the representative expected to go out on Wednesday. But the communications committee is very flexible. We've met at 10 o'clock on Tuesday night, so I don't think it'd be a problem in the process.
Is there anybody else that wishes to be placed on the speaks list? Okay, there. Well, I'm just going to end the debate unless there's any dissent. All right, on to Resolution 26, Resolution regarding Appendix B guidelines for welcome weekends and orientation steering committee. Not sponsored by so.
Motion moving to executive session.
Should be.
Second. Motion moving to executive session.
Second.
President Boxer?
Vince, I don't really think that this to me does not look like the same kind of, like, just layup charter, you know, the same kind of Appendix B thing that I just did with Alana. Like, these are real changes that you're trying to make to what the Student Assembly mandated last semester. Like, this is completely changing the resolutions that the Student Assembly last year made regarding the byline funding of these two groups. And, like, when you know, to cut out number five for Welcome Weekend Charter, like, Welcome Weekend shall not contribute the same monetary amount to Cornell, or, yeah, I mean, that changes a lot of money. That changes where a lot of money is being directed. That, you know, and the reason why we have Appendix B, you know, like as you just saw me lay out with Ilana, is that like we go through it in byline funding and like painstakingly go through every penny of where things are being directed. So I just, you know, I don't think that this is like kind of cut and dry as you're trying to make it. I think you're actually changing a lot of like very specific things about the way that Welcome Weekend and Orientate the OSC operate. I mean, I know that there have been differences between the groups, but you're trying to change the way that like we mandate them to operate. And I don't even know if we can really do that with money that's already been allocated for this year and next year. I mean, it's just like these are like Appendix B. And all of the restrictions that we place on that money was like approved by the Board of Trustees last year. You know, it's pretty ironclad. And all of the recommendations that we make and all of the ways that the money is split up by whoever splits it up in the office of the assemblies when, you know, Alana or OSC like writes a check or something. So I don't really know if you can even, you know, just decide like Welcome Weekend is not going to contribute X amount to Cornell Night when last year the budget that they were given says this is what you have to do for the next 2 years and checked by the Board of Trustees and all of that. So I think that this is actually a lot more complicated than just rewording some things.
Parliamentarian Esther. That wasn't a question. Parliamentarian Esther.
I have 2 points. One is I would like to echo what Sarah said. As far as I'm aware with the way that byline funding works, allocated, I think just Sarah's point about which is the previous resolution is correct. The difference B was allocated and Appendix B was not properly updated.
Right.
But in this case, because you're changing it so drastically, my belief is this is money that's already been set by the previous assembly for 2 years. So the next time to update this appropriately would be next fall and the next byline funding cycle, which would take effect 2 years after that. Because I think the Board of Trustees only set, I don't think they really set a lot of time in like the president, you know, president's word at this point would object to it. I don't think they would set aside another time for me to consider one change to Welcome Weekend, OSC, whatever. But more importantly to me, to consider this aside from the point that Sarah brought up, is you're saying in the resolution, and you also said it just now, this is a question that you can just answer this question. You're saying the previous assembly approved what you're saying in these changes now. I don't remember it personally. But that means I may be mistaken. But I know one thing that I suggested at the parliamentary workshop, I know Mark has talked about it, Mark has talked about it, is to document what you're saying in the resolution. So for example, you're saying a previous number did this, then reference minutes from last year to show that the previous number said this, so that there's proof, so you know, substantiated. Because then I think the change would be really easy. Maybe because last year's assembly may have discussed it or may have passed it. But have you done anything like that? Have you actually approved the last year's assembly?
Yeah, I think the chair of Welcome Weekend and the vice chair, who's now the chair of Welcome Weekend, came last semester, like I did now.
What does it mean?
You mean the spring of last?
Yeah, the spring of last.
Because it was decided in the fall.
Yes, it was. Okay. In the fall, we were unaware that OSC was going to move Cornell Night to the daily call. And because they did that, it was against our mission. We could not possibly find Cornell Night.
So, time.
To
answer that?
We have no idea.
Go ahead, go ahead. What was the question?
Is it in any of your selling minutes for your book?
I'm sorry, I hadn't looked through last year's minutes.
Okay. Vice President Flickman.
You know my time to that.
Okay. The minutes are available online, by the way. That's how we discovered partly how we discovered the Alana discrepancy and how to correct that. There's nobody else on the speaker's list at this time? They're not, well, you don't need to do that. Anybody else wish to be placed on the speaker's list at this time? Okay, we're going to move into executive session. This should not take too long. We are just voting for a new liaison to the GPSA. So at this time, with all non-members of the assembly, please leave the room.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.